So on this Father's Day, let me tell you the story from my point of view. The story of a Jewish boy growing up in a Jewish village. Let's begin at the beginning. A certain man had two sons. We were brothers. And like brothers the world over, we were very different. Indeed, if you have a brother, I hazard to guess you're very different from him. My older brother was the farmer. It's what he did all the time. From the crack of dawn, he got up to milk the cows, then the cows were out and up the hill and out into the meadow. 6 o'clock at night, back came the cows down the lane and into the byre for the evening, milking, and in between, there was checking the cattle and looking at the goats and doing the work in the fields, plowing and reaping according to the season of the year. It was a full-time job, 7 days a week, 365 days in the year. That is the lot of a farmer. And I hated it. When my brother looked at the horizon, he looked to see what weather would be coming. When I looked at the horizon, I looked and I wondered what was on the other side of the horizon. What were the people there like? What were their customs? What was their food? What did they think was funny? I wondered about those other people. I was dissatisfied to be on the farm. Tell me, would you be satisfied with a life where the greatest excitement was the price of a steer in the cattle market once a month, would you? I wasn't. So I determined that I was going to break away. I was going to get a life for myself. One day I decided to bite the bullet. I went to my father and I said to him, "Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me." Never. Never will I forget the look of shock and pain on my father's face. I had just said to him, "Why don't you drop dead, old man? I wish you were gone." It was a terrible thing to say, and nowhere in my Hebrew scriptures, and indeed nowhere in all the literature of the Middle East, from Syria to Saudi Arabia, is there an example of a boy ever saying that to his father. Its assumptions are distasteful, its motives are disrespectful, and its implications are improper. My father was deeply wounded. And when my mother heard about it, she wept as though her heart would break. And you know what he did? He put his arm around her and he said quietly, "We give our children their roots. We must also give them their wings." That was my father. And when he went down to sit with the elders at the gate, as was his right and was his wont, and they were discussing how to put me out of the village for the scandal that I had caused, he looked them in the eye and he stood up for me. He took my side, the side of a willful son. And he said something like this: "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and despite what my older brother would later say, I was not just a party boy. I worked hard, I had capital, I had money in my pocket, and I had ideas, and I was going to change the world, because that's what young people always believe. My business grew month by month, and year by year, the world was my oyster. Blue skies shining on me. Nothing but blue skies did I see. And then, one day, it was a Tuesday, the market crashed. The next day it steadied and everyone breathed a sigh of relief. But Thursday it plummeted again, and by Friday I was wiped out. I hadn't anything. You know how it is. The only job I could find was tending pigs in a Gentile country. The Gentiles actually eat pigs. Worse than the hunger was the shame that I felt. I had lost the family inheritance, and I had lost to Gentiles. I had disgraced the family name. And that was a terrible thing to do in my tradition. But I didn't just sit down and whine and feel sorry for myself. I came to myself, which means that I decided to take responsibility for where I was. I would make a plan. I decided I would go back home. I would go back to my father, and I would say to him, "Father, I have failed in the sight of heaven and before you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants." That's what I would do. My father had lost his son when I left, and now I would lose my father when I returned. I knew what would happen in that situation. It was called the Kasaza ceremony. Let me tell you about it. According to custom, an earthenware pot would be filled with nuts and raisins and burnt corn. My mother would come out and give her son a last kiss. My father would stay in the house with his face hidden in shame. And on the front porch, before all the village, the pot would be broken with the cry, "This man is cut off from his people." It was a terrible thing. I suppose it was like the shun of your Pennsylvania Dutch. I would never enter the house again. I would live in the village apart, perhaps for the rest of my life. A long, long journey home with loneliness and shame, my only companion. But then one day in the distance, I saw the old homestead. My step quickened, and as I got nearer, I saw my father standing on the porch, watching for me. I saw him before he saw me. Because his eyes were dim, as happens with age. And he was more bowed than I remember. But then he saw me. And he started running to meet me. And I said running, but in the East, you see, the patriarch never runs. To run, you must hitch up your robe and show your bare legs, and that is shameful. is remarkable. The robe restored me to the village leaders. The ring restored me to the community. And the shoes restored me to the household. Slaves go barefoot, but all God's children got shoes. It's a hot country. He must eat the food when it's cooked. And he killed the fatted calf, which means the whole village were invited for that party. That was the way my father acted. He was a remarkable father. And that's my story. Except, of course, in a way, it's not a story about me. It's not even a story about my brother. It's a story about this remarkable man I called my father. Let me add one other thing. My tradition, my Jewish tradition, differs from yours in that we have no creeds, we have no confessions. We don't stand and make declarations. Our faith, which has existed for thousands of years, is expressed in stories. The story of an old man in an ark, whom God remembered. The story of a young man who marched up to old Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." I'm older now, and I'm not so willful, and I'm not terribly observant. But if I have a faith, it is the faith that is found in my story, the hope that maybe my remarkable father is an image of the likeness of the Father of us all. A God who breaks the rules, who willingly gives up his status and his dignity out Episcopalians just a little odd. But, you know, so we're going to stand to say three sentences of blessing. And here they are. Baruch, which means blessed, Adonai the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Baruch Adonai. Can you say that? Baruch Adonai. The second sentence is Baruch. Blessed Avi, be my father. Baruch Avi, can you say that? Baruch Avi. And the third sentence is, Baruch Avi, blessed be my father. Ha Kaved, the honored one, the one I honor. And surely we should say that on this Father's Day. Fathers that are maybe are still with us, or for those who are within the veil. Baruch Avicha Kaved. Can you say that? Baruch Avicha Kaved. So are you ready? Why don't we stand? I'll say